97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Hello and welcome into the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And my partner Bo Matthews.
Present.
And the guys from Osage County Guns, John Dawson and Jake Fair, sticking around from this week's show to do the podcast with us. Guys, are you there?
We are.
Excellent. So, yeah, if you missed anything on the show this week, we talked to Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory, of course. We talked to Harrison Cohn, the author of the new book, Saber Down. Harrison had a great story about the inspiration behind his book, his 100-year-old grandfather, who was a World War II vet, Bo. Super cool story.
Love the story, man.
Yeah. So, and of course, John and Jake joined us on the show this week as well. So if you missed any of that and you already have this podcast downloaded, make sure you download the show podcast. And we certainly appreciate everybody who downloads one or both of the Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors podcast each and every week. We were talking at the end of the show there about, you know, what's happening inside the retail stores, the gun stores in the area. Of course, Osage County Guns out there in Wright City, the best gun store in the area, one of the biggest gun stores in the whole country, 6,000 square feet of retail space. And, Bo, you were asking about with, you know, the lack of inventory that everybody has
right
now because of the pressure on the gun industry. You had a question about that. So.
Yeah, you know, a lot of, you know, businesses have had to pivot, guys, and I'm thinking you guys are probably doing the same thing. Selling more Second Amendment Radio t-shirts is one thing, but are you broadening your I don't know what you call it, your inventory things? Are you adding coolers and four-wheelers and, you know, other deer stands? And are you doing
produce.
Something to augment your gun sales to keep, you know, that space filled up?
No, unfortunately not. And there's a few reasons. You know, it's outside of our niche. Mm. And then, you know, the lag from the time you order to the time you take delivery. So what we're working to do is focus on, you know, our biggest partners and then leverage, you know, our relationships with them.
Good for you.
You know, work to try to get larger deliveries, more frequent deliveries. Jake's been in a lot of meetings working and planning and ordering. And I do the same, you know, with Sig Sauer. And so we've been seeing, you know, pretty good, steady shipments of product. But, you know, the demand is just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, case in point, I think on Thursday of last week, about a week ago today, or, you know, week ago-ish, we received like 298 guns in one day.
Wow.
And they're all gone.
Wow. I was going to say, that doesn't sound like a shortage, but yeah, I guess.
One day from one vendor, right?
Wow.
So, you know, it's just mind-blowing, the demand. So we are, you know, we're at a point now where as we really started to get aggressive with ordering, and we're seeing deliveries for products. Some things that we ordered in June of last year and July are just hitting. And then as we got into the fall, you know, we really started to get aggressive and go heavier with our purchasing. So we're finally getting to the point where a lot of those orders that are starting to become stale are being delivered. And so we're hoping that, you know, in the next month or two, you know, instead of 300, we see 500 or 600 in a day or two. And that's the way this thing has to happen.
So how much do you hear from your customers, or how much do they share with you their motivations when they're coming in? Do you hear the conversations in the store? Are people talking about politics? One of the things we talked about on the show this week was that, you know, new President Biden has hit the ground running and has written a historical amount of executive orders in his first week, but so far he hasn't touch the Second Amendment. He hasn't done anything that would affect gun rights or anything like that, which we all kind of, I mean, he said he was going to do things like that on day one, so we were kind of all waiting for that to happen, and it hasn't.
Are you reminding him?
No, he doesn't listen. But, you know, so we're all kind of waiting for that sort of shoe to fall, that, you know, is that what you're customers are talking about? Are they talking about the election? Are they talking about, I want to get these, you know, in case something changes, or this guy writes an executive order? Like, what are the conversations that your customers are having there in the store?
Yeah, there's definitely a heightened sense of a rush to buy because of.
Yeah.
Nobody really knows what he's going to do, when he's going to do it, and obviously what it'll entail. So I think some people are just, hey, you know, I've always wanted this, and I better get one before I can't get one. And so there's a lot of that. We still see a lot of new buyers who, you know, within this last year have bought their first handgun, and now they're looking for a second firearm. You know, this whole gun craze has gotten so big and so wide that it's not just, you couldn't point at it and say, okay, well, it's just one type of firearm anymore.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't matter what it is.
Or one type of person, right?
Well, I've got people buying, you know, more custom bolt-action hunting rifles right now because hunting shotguns. It's so widespread that people are just buying to buy.
Yeah, are people buying those as a... I'll never forget, years ago, before this show was even on, I was doing a radio interview with a gun expert and asked the standard question of, you know, for somebody who's a first-time gun owner, or, you know, never owned a gun before, but is interested in buying a gun specifically just for home protection because they feel like, you know, I just be safer to have a gun in the house.
The world's changing.
And, you know, the standard answer to that is everybody's different. You got to, you know, get the gun that you're comfortable with. But he did make this point of, you know, it's having a rifle, having a shotgun in your home. Whether you're a hunter or not, that sound of racking the gun, that anybody, if somebody's in your house and it's dark and quiet and somebody hears that, that's a sound that every human knows and is a great deterrent, and so made that suggestion. So I wonder, because we've heard a lot about shotguns being really popular right now with first-time gun owners, is that an indication of people hunting more, or is that an indication of it being a gun that's very popular for home defense?
Both.
Yeah.
You know, when you start looking at, you know, the possibilities of, you know, and this is, you know, I'll start putting on my tinfoil hat here a little bit. But
do it. Let's go. Love
when it. You start looking at the potential of not being able to shop for food, being stuck in your house for a long period of time, and having to provide for yourself or your family, There are some metrics there that are some firearms that are key to being able to do that. And a shotgun is one of those key firearms that you can defend, you can hunt, you can provide food, you can do almost everything with, because you can still shoot, you know, the right slugs or buckshot for big game, but you've got birdshot for birds, and then you've got defense loads for two-legged critters. And so there's a lot of aspects to it, and a shotgun is a very easy gun to use. It's easier to keep on target. It has obviously an area to cover that's much wider, so it's easier to, you know, put it in the middle of the doorway and pull the trigger, and whatever's in that doorway is probably going to get hit. So two-legged critter, or like four, that. Or whatever's there. So it's a very easy gun, and so when people ask a lot of the time, you know, hey, if the end of the world's coming, what guns should I have? A shotgun is always at the top of the list.
Well, that's what our president said to his wife a long time ago. Just step out on the back patio
and
fire it into the air.
Double barrel shotgun.
Yeah.
Two blasts.
Right. Right.
Yeah, so those... go ahead.
I'm curious about the COVID story.
Oh, yeah. Well, I want to finish gun talk. Before we move on to, we were talking, another question that we talked about on the show earlier, and I'm curious to hear from you guys too. We continue to hear, you guys are talking about the pressure on the industry continuing and this idea of, you know, an executive order that could change things, you know, with the stroke of a pen just immediately. Do you guys get any type of heads up? Or is there anything in the gun industry that's known ahead of time? Like, hey, you might not want to place an order for 5,000 of these, you know, these magazines or whatever, because they're about to be illegal? Or do you find out at the same time we find out?
You typically wouldn't get notice. Yeah, that's nothing where we'd have advance notice. You would generally, you know, assume that product would be grandfathered if it's already there. So in some cases, you know, Jake's being more aggressive and bringing in even larger quantities of magazines. You know, but to some extent, you don't know. And
so I use the magazine as an example because that's one that we've heard so much about, you know, high capacity magazines. So if they're typically when an order like this happens, it eliminates the manufacturing of it moving forward. And you guys are able to, if you already have it, you can sell it and then that's it. Or do you have to go out and literally take it off the shelves?
No, I mean, in the past, you know, it was the manufacturing. Now, you know, based on what we've seen, the rhetoric, we know that they would like to prohibit ownership or have a tax and registration. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the question is, how much can they get away with and what can they get away with via executive order? On the flip side, I think, you know, we've seen some instances in the past where out in New York, they tried to pass some really restrictive laws regarding transportation of your firearms that you owned. And there was an attempt to get that to the Supreme Court. And once it essentially was announced the Supreme Court was going to take the case, New York dropped the case because they didn't want it to reach the court, fearing a precedent. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the Democratic Party is probably trying to walk a pretty fine line to see what they could get through, which wouldn't get to the courts. And hopefully that's very little. But at the same time, where, you know, the Republicans have the majority in the Supreme Court, you know, a precedent-setting case wouldn't be a bad thing, you know, for long-term rights. You know, it wouldn't hurt my feelings, you know, if we had the opportunity to really, you know, get a solid case there where the Supreme Court could come down and say, yeah, no states can restrict magazine capacity. Mm-hmm. You know, no states can restrict or limit access to concealed carry, you know, things like that, which would benefit gun owners and just, you know, individual rights.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bo.
I still want to talk about COVID.
Okay.
No, you know, no, John, it sounds like your voice has dropped like an octave or two since you had the COVID, man.
That's coming from a guy whose voice drops octaves every single second. So, yeah, you know what? Here, I got one more gun question.
Oh, my gosh.
I got one more gun question, and then we can talk COVID. There was a story, and I kind of want to get your guys' opinion on this anyway. There's a story out of Jeff City. But the gun store in Jeff City, I don't know if you guys saw this, that said they weren't going to sell guns to liberals, which, you know, is dumb. My thought on that is if there are liberals that want to buy guns, that's going to be some liberals that have something that they don't want taken away from them. And my thought is, you know, if as long as you're using them for all the right reasons, which the vast majority of gun owners are, liberals have buying guns for the first time, I think is a great thing because they are understanding how important their Second Amendment rights are and probably don't want them taken away either, even if they do support the Democrats or Joe Biden in other areas. That's my thoughts. What are yours?
So ironically, back around the election or shortly after, I frequently bounced my ideas off of Jake, and I said, hey, what do you think about just putting a sign out that says if you voted for Biden, you're not welcome in our store? And, you know, Jake, you know, being so rational, said that's probably not a good idea.
It gets you some press.
It would have probably gotten us some press, but... obviously, you know, we are here to make money and sell products. So, you know.
Arming Americans.
Yeah.
Jake's recommendation was taken.
it's a double-edged sword, right? So, yes, we're here to serve the people as far as being able to provide products that are fun. Now, I'm a firearms enthusiast for multiple reasons. I am not just a patriot who wants to sit here and talk 24/7 about defending my home and my and people, because firearms is more than just trying to shoot bad guys.
Yeah.
Yet that seems to be all the attention. So it gives the whole industry kind of a negative outlook. But when you look at the firearms well before this as a recreational activity that is fun to do, it provides for the family, it provides a recreation, it teaches, it trains, it helps people. It's a sport just like everything else.
So it's bonding. It's a bonding moment many times for families.
I have never seen anybody pull the trigger for the first time and not have a smile on their face.
Right.
So,
yes.
So when we look at that, yes, you may be a Democrat and you may support Biden. And some of these people are buying guns because they're like, well, I can get them right now. And then after that, they probably don't care if they don't ever get to buy another one. And some will. So it's a 50-50, right?
Yeah.
I think some people will stand up and say, hey, no, I actually enjoy target shooting, clays, traps, sporting clays, you know, skeet, that kind of stuff. I don't want those guns taken away. And others will say, well, I bought the one gun I needed. I don't really care.
Yeah. Yeah. My philosophy is the more people that own guns and realize how important that is to them, the harder it's going to be for anybody to try to limit those rights in any way. So I'm all for liberals, Republicans, and anybody else, you know, using their Second Amendment rights. All right, Bo.
Firearms is a non-party item.
Yes.
You're right. Just like automobiles.
Ask John, John about coronavirus.
No, John, are you feeling better? Are you out of the woods now? Are we good?
Yeah, so...
Good, conversation's over.
No, it's not. When can you get the shot?
I'm 99%, and I'm over COVID. I'm just fighting a little bit of a head cold, which is totally unrelated.
So how did it all start? You said that, I can't remember if it was on the podcast or on the show. You said that it kind of started with a sinus infection type deal. Yeah. How did you know that you might have it and decide to go get tested? Like how did that all unfold for you?
So New Year's Eve, I had just a sore throat, you know, and felt just a little achy, nothing, you know, too bad. The next day, New Year's Day, you know, that sore throat got a little worse, but, you know, no other significant symptoms. And then the morning of the Saturday, probably like the second, that morning I woke up and had a real low-grade fever, like 100 degrees. But then when I made my coffee, and I'm a huge coffee enthusiast, so I use an espresso machine and I have a specific blend and bean I use. So anyway, I nearly knew when my coffee only tasted sweet. There was no flavor. Normally it's got this bold flavor, and there was none of that. And I used vanilla. I could only taste the sweet flavor, but not the, you know, no vanilla, no coffee. Oops. And I was like, yep, I got COVID.
Wow.
So I had actually scheduled an urgent care appointment the day before just for the sinus infection, and thinking, you know, I should probably just get checked to be safe. If I have sinus infection or strep, you know, I don't want to take any chances. So I called them and said, hey, I lost my taste. And they said, yeah, that's a symptom of COVID. And I'm like, oh, yeah, obviously. What, you know, I'm not living under a rock. So, you know, they do the isolation thing, and you go sit in your car in their lot, and they call you in. And
yep. Yeah.
They do the swab rapid test, and they said, you know, looks like a sinus infection, and then the COVID test came back positive. Mm.
And then Jake took over the keys to the place, and he ran he ran everything. Thanks, Jake. Thank you, Jake.
Right. We did. We kicked him out of here pretty quick.
So what was did they prescribe any specific meds for treatment? Like how did you treat it?
Yeah, so not for COVID, just for the sinus infection. So they gave me a Z-Pack.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, straight to Walgreens, and I basically waited for my Z-Pack. And I started it right away. And my wife also came down with similar symptoms. She lost her taste and smell about the same time that I did, actually. And so they said because she had no other symptoms that, you know, she should not get tested. And you just assume, you know, in quarantine the same.
Yep.
And so, I, you know, we just isolated, stayed home, and The Z-Pak may have helped my recovery. I gained my smell and taste back just 5 days later.
Wow.
And then all the other, so, you know, the nasal drain, you know, the achy stuff, that all went away too. And so, like, 5 days later, I felt pretty much 100%.
Yeah.
And it took her about 12 or 13 days before she even started to get any taste or smell back. And now she's pretty much 100% as well.
That's great.
But we just quarantined and stayed home and, you know, knock on wood, no other significant symptoms.
Is there a baby due in September or October?
Actually June. We were a little ahead on that.
Oh, there you go. Well played. So why is it everybody that I know, maybe you too, that has gotten COVID has never seen hydrochloroquine, remdesivir, ivermectin? Nobody's getting any of these therapeutics.
My guess is, and John, you can fill us in, but my guess is, because I do know a couple of people that have been, that have had it, had a bad experience with it, that have had that type of medicine.
They're not hospitalized.
But the vast majority of the people that I have talked to that have had coronavirus has been a very mild, very similar to what John experienced, where it was nothing. Yeah. I don't think they use those medicines until it's, unless it's a really bad case. John, is that right?
Okay.
That's my understanding. So hydroxychloroquine, they say, needs to be administered within like the first couple days of the virus. And you can be, you know, asymptomatic early on. And so I think that, you know, they are focusing those more on, you know, significant, you know, cases.
Mm-hmm.
But there are still, you know, there are still cases. Just yesterday, one of my wife's, somebody that worked where she works, you know, about 7 years old, they passed away and, you know, got COVID a couple days before. So it's still there. It's still deadly. And people should still, you know, take it seriously. You know, just trying to be as careful as you can. And, you know, what's even stranger, the way it affects everybody differently. So it's been through the majority of my family now. And one of my brothers, one of my two brothers has had it, as did his wife. And then their symptoms were like mine. And then I have an uncle and my mother and a couple family members. They've been vacationing and actually became symptomatic. The uncle traveling with them became symptomatic and got tested, and he had a cough and a fever, and he tested positive. And then my mom and her boyfriend, they got tested and tested positive, but they were asymptomatic the whole time.
Yeah.
And she was in her 70s, you know, and so I had symptoms in my 30s, and my mother in her 70s had no symptoms and would not have known she had it if they hadn't been in contact with the uncle with symptoms.
That's just the thing, is the randomness of this deal. Yeah. I had my uncle, who's in his 50s and has asthma, had it, and it wasn't too bad. My grandpa, who's 95 and lives in a nursing home, had it and barely had any symptoms. And you know, and then other people have these terrible, but John, I really appreciate you sharing the experience, because I think that's hearing the real stories of people that have it is the true insight and information that people need. Because they just, I think there's so many, they just don't know what to believe or who to trust or anything like that. So I think it's important to tell these stories. You know, this is a serious thing. It can be a very serious thing. It's not, you know, many times it's not that. And it's just important to do what you can to keep yourself safe.
And it's also hard to deny the politics of it. And the panic that is incited by the media. You know, it's funny talking about, you know, the incitement of things, and you know, the way that the media treated it.
That's a great point.
Everything is still shifting. So, you know, the messaging from WHO and these other, you know, international agencies constantly changes. And now, you know, I've heard and seen these stories that they're changing reporting, and that they don't want to test you like at all unless you have symptoms. You know, previously there was different criteria, and now it sounds like they're just trying to, you know, reduce the number of tests administered, which in turn reduces the number of positive, you know, cases.
Yeah.
So it'll skew the statistics down, and you know, the timing is pretty suspect, since, you know, just a week and a day ago we changed administrations.
There are fewer cases under the Biden administration will be the headline. because there's fewer testing. Seriously.
Right. Anyway. Yeah, that's a great point.
But more deaths.
That's a great point.
Stop it.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up this podcast right here. John, great to talk with you as usual. Jake, of course, as well. And glad, John, that you are feeling better and your family is everybody's doing good after going through the virus experience. And thank you so much for sharing your story. People that want to get out and see these guys out at Osage County Guns, if you've never been there before, you are doing yourself a disservice. Osage County Guns in Wright City. You can learn more at osagecountyguns.com. Google them to find their social media and all that stuff. But get out there and see the store in person because it is impressive. Guys, thanks so much for your time. We'll talk to you again real soon, okay?
That's great. Thank you.
Thanks.
See you guys.
Thanks, boys. All right. That's going to do it for this edition of the Second Amendment Radio Podcast. For Bo Matthews and Carl Middleman, I'm Tony Colombo. We'll see you back here next week for another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.